This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that. It's just minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Tuesday, 7th day of July. You know, I got to figure out a way to just get out of here because it's a Royals doubleheader day. Rain out, tornadoes last night in Kansas City. They're going to try and play two today. 110-710 on the Breeze, 94.5. The Cornhusker League All-Star Game tonight in Grand Island. So that should be awesome as well. And we'll get into all of that. Plus, we're going to talk with the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm, Bill Muckalt. But we welcome back into studio the boy of summer, Loper baseball coach Damon Day. I thought maybe you'd vanished.
No, working. June's the busiest month of the year for a college baseball guy.
Let's face it, you communist. Well, you were in Canada for the whole month at the World Cup, and you just got back.
That's the thing I love about being the closet soccer fan that I am, is you can paint your face and no one knows that you were there. But in all seriousness, I'll have to admit, the bandwagon could not slow it down enough for me and my family to jump on board, because we definitely did jump on board. I'm sure as so many others did. Even went down to Fanatics for a little American Outlaws for it and to watch it. And man, I'll tell you what, that was an event. That was if you've never gotten into the whole soccer thing or whatnot, when the Outlaws are having an event and are kind of there watching the game too, it's kind of a different vibe to it. But what an amazing run they had, and what an amazing thing to watch. I can't believe that it outdrew the NBA Finals.
Oh yeah,
I mean that's what I think. That's something that's pretty cool. I think that is a sporting event that. I don't know why, but they definitely caught the attention of America. I always say it's also because of the time. There was not huge time changes. There was not. It was in our time zone. Well, yeah. It was in our hemisphere. Yeah. I think also kind of helped with that. But just what a great run.
It did not surprise me, because let's face it, who watches the NBA Finals? Men.
Right.
That's it.
Yep.
That's it. I mean, you know, there's a small percentage of it, but I mean, white and African-American men watch this. Those are the ones that play that. Everybody plays soccer. I mean, so the melting pot that is the United States has people watching all the countries from all across the world. And when it comes down to the U.S. and Japan, that doesn't surprise me. It had plenty of intrigue to it. And I mean, soccer is the world's sport. And we've always, I think, conceded that, but in the United States, it's still down the pecking order, and one of the reasons it's down the pecking order is because we say it's down the pecking order. How many female hosts does ESPN National have, Fox National have, CBS National have?
Right.
They'll bring it up because it's the United States. They'll bring it up because they know that there are a few people that are listening that are interested, as opposed to some of the sports. Cowherd talks about it. He goes, there's a reason I don't talk about this and this and this, because a very limited amount of the public cares or listens. They're passionate about it, but I don't talk, let's say, Cowherd. How often does he really talk golf or tennis or, you know, even you can even go to some international NASCAR. How often does he, even though NASCAR very popular in the United States, how often do they actually talk about it? Not that much. he will bring up soccer from time to time. So,
oh, and he's not busy man crushing Russell Wilson for whatever reason. You know, he's got a segment just on Russell Wilson. So when he's not talking about that, it does leave a little less else time for Cowher to talk about anything else. But I completely agree with you from the standpoint as it is a once in a 4-year thing. You know, you can kind of get behind it because it started early and they started to get some publicity on it. It's not going to become mainstream. I mean, if you look at the Women's Soccer League, they're having they're on their fourth league. I mean, so what soccer's job has to do or what their fight is how do they get this into everybody wants to pay attention to it more than just for this week, more for than just this every four-year type of run. And that's what they have been unable to do. I don't know why. I don't know how that's kind of all set up with their women's leagues and whatnot. But, you know, if you can't sustain a professional women's soccer league and then you're on your fourth try, that's kind of what you're missing. They haven't been able to bottle all of this excitement and all this attention from the World Cup and transfer it to what, let's face it, investors and league followers. They haven't been able to put that out there.
Television
enough.
Radio. Contracts, big money.
Right.
People want to watch the NFL. People will buy the NFL. That's why there's such big contracts right. in the NFL. And I believe soccer isn't going to get there, but they're getting there. I mean, when we were in Chicago last year for media days, there was a big match going on. And forgive me, it was one of, I don't know if it was Manchester United came over and was playing the United States about four or five different stops. And Chicago was all giddy about that. But did a lot of people watch that? I mean, the true soccer aficionados did, but the people that were interested in USA women's soccer, they were not interested in Manchester United, Chicago.
Why do we care so much more about women's soccer than men's
good.
Soccer?
Because we're good. We've got a chance. We're going to be competing. We know we're going to be there. Well, there's a good odds that you're going to get out of group play where the men just fight to get out of group play, and you're pretty sure that, I mean, how many times have they gotten past the first round of the knockout stage? That's why. They know you've got a chance to be successful, and they know you can play another week to 10 days longer.
Good point. I never knew. I mean, I can't stand watching men's soccer because they just seem to always fall, and they fake injuries, and they just, you know, they tumble over it, and it just doesn't seem as I don't know. It's not as intriguing of a game.
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. If you would like to join us on the Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, you can always tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550. And our Dent Popper inbox for all your emails, Doug and Daddy. You spell out and, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. And in Serena Williams' way, looks like she's going to lose the first set today in the quarterfinals at Wimbledon. Maria Sharapova advanced on. And again, when you go to work early in the morning, pre-8 o'clock, and there's live sports on, it's cool. I mean, obviously, because I'm here doing sports, but you've got this Djokovic-Ken Anderson final. Ken Anderson sounds like he's as American as you can be, but he's Soviet Union. And you just once again saw an athlete put two hands around their neck and squeeze. Because this is back and forth. They're on serve. It's 5-5. Oh my. It's getting close. It's 5-5. He's up 30 love on Djokovic. Chance to break him, go up 6-5 and serve for the big upset. The next 8 points or 10 points, whatever it was, he double faults twice when it gets back to him. He hits it out of bounds twice. One of them was one of those that fly off the rim of the racket, and you know, you just know as soon as he hits it, it's going 65 rows up in the state. I mean, it was just total choke job. And you find that's tough because when they're trying to get there, everybody's going to go through that once. But it plays out on the national stage, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, he's up 2-0, albeit tiebreakers yesterday. It should have been in his favor to get the rest, but he loses this morning. So there you go.
I am the guy who hates the term choke job.
Well, I know
that as from a standpoint of how else do you describe it or whatnot. It's the same thing with Mike Greenberg calling it a choke job or Golic and all the national pundits and everything else is. I don't think that people truly understand the amount of pressure that those people are under. And I just don't like that.
So you say he didn't succeed.
you know, when it mattered most, he failed. Or so, I mean, you know, when
I think choked is a lot less harmful than fail.
See, I don't. Fail means you just didn't get it done, in my opinion. You know, you just didn't. You just weren't. Just
choke means you didn't perform your best. Fail means you could have performed your best.
Choke insinuates to me that there's some lack of fortitude or some lack of character that caused you to not be successful. And that's maybe just a me thing. When I hear the word choke, it makes me think of some sort of it came down to lack of a backbone or that, you know. But at the end of the day, I just personally, I find a hard time saying that someone choked something away. I always laugh when you're in golf. Everybody knows I love to play golf. It was funny. I was playing golf not 2 days after the U.S. Open. Little money on the line, just amongst friends, you know, trying to nail home a four-footer to win it and not carry it over. And then I was just thinking of it, you know, I got a little, you know, excited about that moment. And from the standpoint of, I couldn't even imagine what Dustin Johnson going for the U.S. Open tie had to be going through. When here I am just in a friendly wager amongst friends, it's a nerve-wracking thing. So when everyone says, how could you miss it or whatnot, how could you make it? Yeah, I mean, you know, so I just find that choke job as a interesting term.
And the pain last night. I mean, how many years as Cubs and Royals have we just struggled? And then the Cubs got a little momentum in there a decade ago, and then the Royals here the last few years have been doing great, and we'll have six players at the moment in the All-Star game. But you're just watching a great Cubs-Cardinals rivalry, one of the best in Major League Baseball, 0-0, great pitching matchup. John Lester's thrown a no-hitter. It starts to rain a little bit. They're trying to get this in because they've already got a doubleheader scheduled for today. So they need to get it in. 0-0. You're throwing a no-hitter. You're into the seventh inning, and your team can't scratch across one to give you a little breathing room. And then you have a tough play at third on a ground ball, breaks up the no-hitter, goes off the glove. Next play, hit it to third. He throws it into right. Next thing you know, you went from having a no-hitter to being down 2-0. The rain comes. Of course, the Cubs, they want to get this in. They should have just called it because the wheels totally came off. 4 runs in the ninth, 6-0, and it just is the definition of the Cubs over 100 years. And they just have way too many
of
them.
That game was a microcosm.
You have way too many of those instances. I mean, I'm not picking on and I'm not throwing. It's an instance. It's just like they point out Dallas Cowboy things to me. You point out that thing to the Cub fan, you go, you know, you just shake your head.
If I'm a Cub fan, I'm really worried about John Lester. And I know everyone's looking at me with the whole, what, he had a no-hitter. The book on him is all you got to do is get someone on and you can run. You saw it with Jason Hayward late. You saw it with Colton Wong late. He's not a playoff guy. When playoff runs come at a premium the way that they do, and it seems to be the pitching even ratchet up even more. But you saw it yesterday. He could have kept that an easy one-run game. But he's afraid to throw to first base, so Hayward just takes off.
The lead is so big.
Yes.
Usually, and again, I want to know for sure, because I think all the cutouts, whether it's turf or natural grass, all the cutouts around first and third are the same, you know, as far as how far they cut out the...
Well, it starts at 6 foot to start the season, and then as you edge every home series, you lose about another quarter of an inch. So,
well, it looked like it wasn't. It looked like it wasn't cut out as far.
Right.
But usually, if you have both feet to where the regular grass is and not the cutout, you should get picked off every time.
Yes,
I mean only the greatest base stealers of all time. I mean, and he wasn't even throwing over.
No. And that just goes to show you how scared he is of it. So I think that's just a very interesting dynamic from the standpoint of where he's at with the Cubs. You know, he's kind of brought in to be this savior guy, the frontline guy. He's 500 right now.
How can you not work on that every day in practice? You're just playing catch. Just play catch. Don't even work on the pickoff move. Just stand on the mound, turn, and play catch off the mound to first instead of playing catch at home. I don't understand it.
No, it's gotten beyond. Now it's, to me, I understood it kind of at the beginning as kind of a niche thing everyone's kind of talking about. But now that people are still abusing you after the 4th of July on this thing, then, you know, mix a step off or, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do that are unathletically related to stop that guy from doing it. But Lester just seems to be stubborn in the fact that I'm just going to get the hitter. And when your stuff, and that's how he got away with it in Boston. You never dare run because you weren't going to get many hits off of him. Well, now that he's starting to, now that his whip's up about a 1.5, a 1.6, you know, walks and hits per innings pitch, he's not that same guy anymore, and he's not willing to make the changes necessary to become that type of pitcher. You kind of hear it with Sabathia. Sabathia still thinks he can throw 95 when you throw 87. You're not going to locate in the way that you do. So you got to start doing some different things, you know, to make yourself with the arsenal that you have. Look at Barry Zito's absolutely dominating AAA with an 80-mile-an-hour fastball. Why? Because he's not trying to buzz it by anybody anymore. You know, and so you're going to see guys like that have success or guys that have reinvented themselves have success. But I have not seen Lester make one change from when this all started back when, you know, they had him on opening day and everything else they talked about it. Well, now it's after July the 4th, and the guy hasn't done anything to change that.
And we'll see how she all plays out. Damon Day, our co-host, will talk with the new head coach of the Storm, Bill Muckall, here in just a few minutes. This comes from the Dent Popper inbox. I hate to agree with Damon because he's an Irish fan, but the men's soccer team in the World Cup should get Oscars for all of their great acting jobs when they fall down. Dave from Twitter says, us Cub fans have been worried about Lester for months now. He does a great, I mean, again, he gets in a rhythm. He can shut you down for innings and innings and innings. Before we run out of time, because Damon will scoot out of here a little early today, but I did want to talk. You talk about baseball pitchers reinventing themselves. Obviously, over the weekend, Jabba designated for assignment. And again, I used the term released. It's basically that somebody can pick him up. He has to go through waivers, and then he becomes a free agent. So that's all a timing thing, and we touched on that a little bit yesterday. Read a very good article this morning on Jabba and how he even got off to a decent start this year. So have you had any interaction with him, and what do you think?
We've exchanged some messages, and they're all of the positive nature. Just, you know, this is kind of – and I think that if you read his new paper articles and everything like that from the standpoint, is he gets it. He understands it's a business. It's a tough business, and this is the bad side of it. This is the first time he's actually been released. And so, you know, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think he knows what he needs to do to be more successful, and what, you know, the line between success and failure at that rate, at that level, is so small. You know, the thing that I look at from just a baseball observer is, okay, where's the arm health? Well, the arm health has to be pretty good because he's 95, 97. I think Elias has him averaging 93.4, 93.5 on his fastball. So the arm must be healthy. So then once you kind of get past the health hurdle, okay, what's the next one? Well, if you start to look at the 3-home run game that he gave up, where are all those balls at? They're all middle in or you know, they're all heart of the plate type of pitches, and you can't live in that type of area. And, you know, when you start talking about luck and some other things, against these types of hitters, you're down 8-2. I mean, this is what these guys get paid to do. Those are the at-bats that are dangerous because those guys are going up there looking for that pitch, and they're not trying to just move a runner. They know they got a guy on the ropes type of thing. And so I think the biggest thing with him is just command, is just the ability to command and the ability to locate pitches. And I think the problem with the reason why he has struggled over his last 10 innings is just you can't give up that many hits and always expect to wiggle off of it. When you throw 95 to 97 and it's in the heart, it's going to travel farther than somebody that throws 90, 91. So sometimes that killer velocity can become a killer on the other side of things. But, you know, is this? I get the text messages, is his career over with? No, if he doesn't want it to be. If he does want to retire and go home and do that, then he's earned the right to do that too after a very long and very successful career. I don't think that's in his DNA. I don't think that's in his makeup. I think he wants to be the type of young man that ends it on his types of terms. And so I think it's just that next opportunity. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back to AAA Toledo with the Tigers. and says, you know what, I'm going to get this fixed, and I'm going to go back to the minors. I'm going to get this fixed, and I'm going to be ready to go for the push stretch, whether it be for the Tigers or whoever may need me, type of thing. But I think the thing that I was really most impressed about with him is he's saying all the things like underlying that you want to hear from a coaching standpoint. As far as he's not pointing the finger. I mean, he was stunned that he got released, but he's not pointing the finger at everybody else saying, you know, I pitched really well, and now he knows he's got to get some things fixed, and he knows that he didn't really do what he needed to do the last 10 innings. I think he's frustrated that he only got a 10-inning, you know. But unfortunately for him, and I think as Gorzolani, is this was a shot across the bow to everybody. I'm done, this was Osmus's and Dombrowski's way of saying, I'm done with you guys' pitchers. We're just going to start going to the farm and start bringing up arm after arm if your bullpen can't figure it out. And unfortunately, I think they were kind of the sacrificial lambs to say, we're done with this. I'm sick of hearing about the bullpen. I got to do something, because it's all over talk radio. It's all over everything that the Tigers bullpen has struggled so much. And so, long story short of it, I'm really excited to see what the next step is for him. I'm really excited to see that triumphant return that he's going to have in the major leagues, because I know he's going to.
We talked about it yesterday that the Yankees might have a need for him, and since he'd been there all that time, that happens a lot in sports where you go back home. But also the same article I was reading said don't be so fast on that, because even though they need some help, they are also looking at their farm system, and so we will see how that all plays out. You kind of described about everything, because I was going to say, well, what is wrong? I mean, in the off season, he didn't have a job, even though he was hoping to have Detroit. It was late before he signed with Detroit, as spring training was right upon us, and he knew that he was. I mean, if you're anybody like that, you have to know that. Okay, I'm getting another year contract. If to make a long term deal, I need to have a year. I need to have a heck of a year. And it's went the exact opposite.
Right. And I think that he's in that position of journeyman reliever. You know, he's a professional. He's a professional reliever now. There's a market for those types of individuals. They don't get a lot of long-term deals. I think he's realized, as a lot of baseball players have, you know, there's a lot more one-year, $2 million deals out there than the five-year, $50 million deals. And I think that, you know, he's on that bat. I mean, I think he'll be 30 this year. He's on the backside of the career. I mean, he's got pension. If you think about it, he's been in the major league since.
Yeah, but if he's a reliever, he could have 10, 11 more years.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Which means he's only not even halfway home.
Right. And that's the thing that I keep trying, you know, whenever the panic button's wanting to come out, is there's a lot of guys that have gone back to the minors and reinvented themselves and come back. You look at the All-Star Rocket. You talk about Greeley from Pittsburgh. You talk about Nishik. You talk about all these O'Day from Baltimore. You talk about all these different guys that have all been released. Or he's not the first guy to ever get released. His big thing now is how do you handle it and how do you bounce back from it? That's going to be the question, and I just really feel like the resilience that he's shown through the injuries and through it. I think the chances of him going to New York, I think he would go back to single A, whoever it is for the Detroit Tigers, than it would be. Not him personally. I'm saying from my standpoint, I don't think that going back to New York would be an answer.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. As all the reserves were announced for the All-Star game yesterday, the Royals have six. The Royals have four starters, which is more than they've had in the last 25 years combined in the All-Star game. So it's a special time. And again, you have to keep reminding the nation that they were 90 feet away from Game 7 in the World Series last year. But I remember always having to pick this up and go, well, every team has to have one guy in the All-Star game. Who'd they pick from the Royals? I mean, and sometimes it was like, who do you pick from the Royals? So I ask you, Cleveland Indian fan, do you know which Indian?
Jason Kipnis.
All right, he made it. We'll take a break. Be back with more here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth and talk with the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm, Bill McCauld, after this.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Buzz's Marine is getting away from it all and bringing our showroom to you. Join Buzz's July 11th and 12th at Frontier Resort on Lake Maloney and July 25th at Lakeshore Marina on Johnson Lake for our on-the-water boat shows. Bring the family, check out our inventory, and cruise the water before you buy. Get low financing on our full line of boats powered by Yamaha Outboards. Go to buzzesmarine.com for details. Let Yamaha Outboards power hours of fun July 11th and 12th and July 25th. Create family memories to last a lifetime with Buzz's Marine. We'll see you on the water.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt from the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A three-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
This afternoon, we'll be seeing the skies sunny with our winds out of the northeast 5 to 15 and highs in the mid-70s. And then for tonight, a partly cloudy sky, east winds 5 to 10 and lower 50s. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 64.
Nugget Daddy's show coming up. Jonathan Nicola in our next segment. Got a cool eliminator race. And it's a track feel to it. It's not, I don't want to call it a marathon. It's pretty cool. I couldn't do it, but stick with us. It's coming up in the next segment. Coming up here, Bill McAlta, the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm. And folks, if you're looking to watch your favorite sporting activities or just enjoy a beautiful day and you're going in, usually I say it's hot, it's beautiful yesterday, today, tomorrow, but going for a relaxing lunch or dinner at the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill, no one combines the best of both places like the Chicken Coop. One of the reasons, not only the great flame-broiled wings, bone-in or boneless, and of course special tonight on the wings. Their lunch special today is any salad on the menu. You can take a dollar off. Of course, they've also got great burgers, salads, quesadillas, pizza. You can get steaks. You can get ribs. You can just sit back and enjoy your favorite beverage. They've got appetizer specials every afternoon from 2 to 5:30. So stop in, watch Wimbledon, watch your Major League Baseball. As we said, there's some doubleheaders today. There's always something going on at the Kearney Chicken Coop Sports Bar and Grill in Kearney. Well, Doug Duda with you. Damon Day sliding out. I was glad to be able to talk a little Jabba Chamberlain with him and a little baseball, and we'll have a lot of summer talk over the next couple of weeks with Damon. But let's get into our guest list for today. And announced last week, very busy man, but now starting to get some of those irons out of the fire and maybe taking a breath. Bill McAlta is the new head coach and general manager of the Tri-City Storm. He'll be officially introduced next Monday here in Kearney when he rolls in, but we have an opportunity now to talk to him on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Coach, congratulations, welcome to Kearney, and welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for the intro, Doug. Doing great, busy, and getting ready to get moved and get down there. Looking forward to it.
Coach, we'll get into your coaching career, your storied playing career, which is obviously very impressive. But let's talk about taking the job for the Tri-City Storm and how much you look at this team. Very good team last year, kind of rose from the ashes a little bit. But I'm sure you also have to nod that this is a unique circumstance, the way the transition went. How much were you aware of what was going on, and how did all this negotiation go behind the scenes?
Well, I can just speak to my dealings with Kirk Brooks, our owner. Just very impressed. I've known Kirk for some time. You know, when we got down to the NHL draft, you know, which it just happened, basically asked me if I'd be interested in coaching the hockey club, and I said I did have a vested interest. You know, just excited about the opportunity to work for Kirk, to be part of the USHL, and then obviously, you know, twofold. I think, you know, the USHL is a developmental league, help our players on and off the ice, get them ready for college hockey. And obviously, a few of the fortunate ones will get the opportunity to play in the NHL one day. So those are all factors. And to be a head coach and general manager and further my career, I thought this was the best opportunity. If you look at guys like John Cooper, Jeff Blashill, people that I know and respect, you know, it's worked out very well for them.
What do you know about the Storm?
Well, I know very good year last year. Certainly could have went as far as any and won a championship last year. I think, you know, Steve Lowe does a tremendous job in going out, identifying players and drafting players. You know, I'm familiar with some of the players. Obviously, Phoenix Copley, I recruited from Tri-City to Michigan Tech, and he's went on and already signed an NHL contract and is kind of on the cusp of the National Hockey League. Joel Esperance, another player that we recruited at Michigan Tech that played in Tri-City. So definitely some roots there, familiar with the team to an extent, and looking forward to getting to know each of our players individually. So I got a lot to learn, but I do have, a good feel you know, from a distance.
A lot of folks, and we're talking with the new head coach of the Tri-City Storm, Bill McCall, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. A lot of folks are, well, they want to root for the local team. We do have hockey fans here, but are not as familiar with, I mean, we know if you're going from a high school coach to a college coach to an NFL coach, how that all progresses in Division I to Division II, Division III, and all that. J.B. Bittner was an assistant coach who took a assistant job at Wisconsin. You leave as an assistant coach in the college ranks to take the Tri-City Storm, and you talked about it just a moment ago as you thought maybe a career advancement or a step up. How would you see college, major hockey in Canada, and the USHL all comparing it? Because they all seem very similar.
Well, I think major junior in Canada, the Western Hockey League, Ontario Hockey League, Quebec Major Junior Hockey League, and the USHL on par. And the reason I would say that is if you looked at the NHL draft, I believe the USHL had 37 players drafted in it, and then those leagues had 30, 31. You know, and I don't know exact numbers, just going off the top of my head. I don't have the information in front of me. So very comparable. The USHL is great. To me, gained a lot more of the market share in the last 5 years. And then obviously college hockey, your kids are a little bit older, but you're seeing a third of the National Hockey League now composed of college hockey players, former college hockey players. So it's right on board. There's good players everywhere. You know, our job and mentality as a coaching staff has always been wherever you're coaching, try and find the best players, one, and then two, to develop them on a daily, weekly, monthly basis to help prepare them, you know, to move on to the next level.
Bill, you guys had a heck of a year at Michigan Tech this past season, and it was kind of like the Storm. They had a heck of a year this year as well, so hopefully not a lot of rebuilding to do. But in college, you hope to have a kid 4 years maybe. You might have them 2 or 3 years, but there's been so many changes here that there hasn't been a lot of stability from that point. How different is it coaching a team where they're not the same every year as opposed to watching kids grow through college, or is there much of a difference?
Well, very, very similar. You know, in college, you're losing players to the National Hockey League either that have been drafted or free agents. They're leaving college earlier, you know, to further their career, to take a chance in pro hockey. You know, it's a little bit the same, similar in college. Rather in the USHL, is that college teams, you know, have recruits stacked up to move forward. And if a player has a tremendous year at the USHL level, well, obviously that's a good benchmark and good sounding board to bring them in. Usually a player has a lot of success at the USHL level, that means he's ready for college hockey. So you lose players. You might have a player that was initially scheduled to play for us in Tri-City for 2 years, but let's say school X at Michigan or Minnesota, just to use as an example, loses a player to the National Hockey League. Well, now they got to come back and get the player in Tri-Cities who, you know, they actually wanted to stay a year earlier, but they've got a hole and they need to plug that hole. So that's kind of the same. It's a different same model, but different situation.
Couple minutes left here with Bill McCault, and we'll let him get back to his day, the new head coach and general manager of the Tri-City Storm, who has been with the New Mexico Mustangs in the North American Hockey League, has been with the Valencia Flyers in the Western States Hockey League. So you know what it's like to scour not just this country, but countries to try to find talent as opposed to recruiting at the college ranks. What's the biggest difference? Because you got to have the talent at this level, as we've found out, and sometimes you got to have great access to finding where that talent is.
Well, there's no question. You know, I think over the years, your network grows. The more experience you have, I think there's no substitute for experience in whatever profession you're in. But, you know, you got to go out and find players, and then you got to develop players. And whether you're coaching in minor hockey, you know, tier three, tier two, college, you know, you look at the National Hockey League, you know, it's all about player procurement. And so you've got to find players, and then you got to develop players, and then you got to have that culture within the locker room, that leadership, that it's about the team first. And as our players are finding out, it's real, real simple. I want them to come to camp in the best shape they can. That's what we've asked of them, one. And then two, as long as they're doing whatever they can to help the team win, that they're going to find a role on our hockey club. And, you know, it sounds simple, but it's not that simple. But the principle really is that simple. So I don't know if that makes sense. I don't mean to talk out of both sides of my mouth, but it's really all about the best interest of the team, and every championship team I've been a part of, as a player or, you know, coaching that had success, you know, that was a staple.
And Bill, I'll give you a chance to kind of take both sides of the fence, because I know this is an open-ended question. When everybody asks a new coach, what's your style? What do you want to play? A lot of that might take a couple of years, because you have to see what's on the roster and if they can play that style. And you're kind of behind the eight ball with such the late hiring here and the Storm already going through the tryout camp. So talk about starting with this team so late and what you'll have to do to get them to play and what kind of style of hockey you'd like to play.
Well, we're gonna push the pace. We're gonna play with speed. We're gonna play in transition, but we're gonna play well, in our own end first, and then offensively. I think one of the things we were able to do at Michigan Tech, if you look at our numbers, we were second in the country in goals against and fifth in the country in goals for. So we actually ended up with the best differential in college hockey, and one of the reasons for that was just the pace. And the style that we played, obviously, as time moves on and we get the right personnel and they become more familiar, our players become more familiar with what we're asking, it will, you know, it'll evolve. It's a process. It's not going to happen on day one or week one or month one, but it's always about a process. So you got to keep that in mind and keep working to improve and get better every day.
Well, Coach, I know we'll get a chance to learn a lot more, and when we get a chance to talk to you two, three, four more times, we'll get to talk about your playing career. But just from a player's standpoint, the success you had at Michigan going into the NHL, do you still see that same type of player now? What's the big difference between, like, your senior year and maybe what you saw from some of your seniors in college and the USHL right now?
Oh, I just think the game, you know, is well, the one thing I've learned about coaching and being involved in hockey is the game's constantly evolving. A lot of the principles stay the same, but You know, the players are bigger, stronger, faster. The equipment's better. The game's opened up. You know, the goaltending's better. So, I mean, I could give you a, you know, a long list of how it's changed. But at the end of the day, it's still about, you know, competing. You know, I can measure how tall our players are, how much they weigh, but I can't measure their will, their want, and their compete. And if there was a factor to bring that into the hockey and scouting and coaching, not just hockey but sports in general, you know, we'd all be, you know, there wouldn't be so many mistakes in drafting and getting players.
And Bill, finally, not just on a hockey sense, what do you know about Nebraska?
Boy, I know it's I know the Cornhuskers. I know no football. You know, I know it's you know, big into farming and all that stuff. And I grew up, I'm originally from, you know, a small town in British Columbia, Canada. So I like my blue jeans and I like country music. So I think from what I'm told, I'll be in great shape.
You might like a steak or something too, huh?
That sounds great.
Well, Bill, we look forward to meeting you when you arrive in town next week, and we sure appreciate you giving us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show and, of course, home network of the Tri-City Storm. We look forward to the season and getting to know you more. So congratulations, and again, thanks for the time.
My pleasure, Doug. I just want to give a shout-out to our fans. Looking forward to getting to meet everybody and getting down there and being part of the community.
It'll be fun, Bill. Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks, Doug. Have a great day.
You bet. Bill McCault, the new head coach, general manager of the Tri-City Storm. Introductory press conference in Kearney will be next Monday. They will have some meet and greets with fans, and we'll talk more about that throughout the latter portion of the week and next week as well. When we come back, we're going to talk a little running. Speaking of running, you need something that continuously runs in your field, and that's the TNL hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation system. Not the start and stop of all the electric. Let's get rid of that spoking. Let's get the same water distribution on every piece of corn or everything that you have planted in your field so that you don't have, oh, why does it look good here? And, oh, what happened here? And maybe you need the TNL corner navigation system to help you out with that as well. But to find out more about it, and it's not too late, TNL superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of their hydraulic designer are just a few of the reasons more and more TNL pivot systems are being put up across the area and the nation. Visit your local TNL dealer today, like Kyle Stewart at R&K Irrigation in Grand Island, or go to TLIRR.com. TNL like no other. How would you like to run, 20 laps around? That would be 5 miles, right? How would you like to run 5 miles? Then stop, do it again. Stop, do it again. How would you like to have 20 people do that and see who could last the longest? The Eliminator, the Kearney Running Festival, and we'll talk about it with Jonathan Niccolo right after this.
Horizon Recovery and Counseling Center presents the 6th Annual Recovery in the Park Celebration on Friday, July 10th. There will be a free barbecue with hamburgers and hot dogs at 6 p.m. at Brickyard Park in Hastings. Enjoy barbecue, free ice cream, cotton candy, popcorn, and face painting, and a free concert by the Going Home Blues Band. Free will donations are appreciated. For more information, call 462-2066 or log on to reviveinc.org. Revive Ministries hopes to see you at Brickyard Park Friday, July 10th for a great time of food and fellowship.
The reality of today's real estate market is that there are more buyers than listings. Preparation plus the resources afforded by OneRocky.com can put you in the home you want, while delaying could cost you both dollars and the home you want. OneRocky.com, the right website. OneRocky.com, the right smartphone app. Rocky Geyser, the right real estate agent.
This is Rocky Geyser. If you're not on OneRocky.com, you're not on the right website.
If you care, call Rocky Geyser, because he does. OneRocky.com.
While dreams of sugar plums dance in some little heads, does your child dream of combines and cornfields instead? CHS AgriService Center wants to be the company that helps you make those dreams come true. Family farms are passed down from generation to generation, and CHS has prided themselves in being here in the communities, the schools, and on the farm, helping you make those dreams come true. CHS AgriService Center, people and resources you can count on always, and always here at chsagri.com.
I'm a business owner, and we called Kearney Cretin Block when we needed a new and inviting-looking driveway.
We called Kearney Cretin Block when we decided to do a fire pit and patio. You should be calling Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete for all your concrete and masonry supplies. Let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and value of your home and business. Kearney Cretin Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
Car insurance isn't about the car. It's about the precious cargo the car carries. It's about providing security and confidence that if an accident occurs, you'll be protected. I'm Dave Challey of Barney Insurance. As a local independent agent, we can design an insurance program that's just right for you and your family, providing safe, sound, secure insurance protection from Auto Owners Insurance. Stop by or give us a call.
Time is the true test of endurance. Barney Insurance.
Raxham Clay is August 15th at the Heartland Shooting Park. Hornaday Manufacturing is the presenting sponsor for the 23rd Annual Platte River Charity Shoot, benefiting Goodwill and the services they provide to people living with disabilities or barriers to working and living independently. There's something for everyone with youth, adult, individual, and team competitions. Scholarships awarded to winners of the youth division. Platte River Charity Shoot is sponsored by Rasmussen & Associates, Five Points Bank, and Hornaday Manufacturing. Sign up today at goodwillne.org.
Crisscross, wow. Haven't heard this in a while. Man.
See, now that could get you fired up to run. There's no doubt about it. Back at the Doug and Daddy Show, Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Midway Chevrolet Buick GMC Cadillac reminding you that through July 9th, which is this Thursday, Midway Chevrolet is celebrating freedom from interest. Approved buyers can get 0% APR for 72 months on most of the 2015 Chevrolet vehicles, whether it is a truck, whether it is a car, whether it is the Equinox or the Silverado or the Malibu or anything in the Chevy line, the 200. They have got great deals and 0% APR for 72 months at your Midway Auto Dealerships. And don't forget, Midway hosting the Show and Shine once again during Cruise Night next Thursday, July 16th, 5 to 7:30. I'll get to be out there with Classic Hits 98.9 with music, food, and, of course, beautiful, beautiful cars on Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue, Kearney, also going on next weekend. Not the whole weekend, but on Friday night. They need a night like this. They need this kind of weather to run in, not 102 degrees. It's Kearney's Running Festival featuring the Eliminator. And with us in studio is Jonathan Nicola and Jeremy Armagost. And gentlemen, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thanks, Doug. Appreciate you having us.
I think, let's face it, if you're, you live in Hastings, you know the guys and the gals that run all the time or that golf all the time or do things like that. Let's face it. Since I've known Jonathan for a long, long time, we know you're an avid runner. I just want you to start off by telling folks what is going on here because I think it's cool. I think it's a really cool event.
It's a fun running event that's not only great for the runners but something that spectators would want to come watch as well, something that's different than your typical 5K. We've got the Kearney Running Festival. And what it is, we wanted a way to do something unique and different amidst all the summer 5Ks and also celebrate running in Kearney. We've got a great tradition for running in this city. Tons of people. I think Kearney's one of the most well-represented cities at the Lincoln Marathon and Half Marathon. We've got the Kearney High tradition that Jeremy will talk about in a little bit. And so we want to celebrate that, have a fun day, and a unique race. And what we're going to do is a race we call the Eliminator. My brother Michael helped come up with it. And what you give 21 runners, they run 400 meters. At the end of the 400 meters, the last runner is out. They're eliminated. They take a 90-second-ish break, and they go again. And once again, the last runner is out. And they take a 90-second break, and they go again. And we've got lap awards so that, you know, it's incentivizes people maybe run a little too fast because they want to win that lap award, but they might use up too much energy. A lot of strategy involved, trying not to get kicked out. And so it's fun for recreational runners. I'll tell you, this isn't just something for those high school competitors. We have a lot of recreational types that do it, and they have a great time. Last year we did it. Everyone had a blast, and it's really great to watch, too. Last year we did it impromptu at the high school, and people were just showing up. Like, people were like, what's going on? And they were just crowding around, and then it hit me. we got something going here. We can have a fun thing for people to watch and participate in.
Yeah, this isn't a five-hour event either. That's kind of cool. I mean, it's going to take about a minute to run, you know, run a 400 and in approximate, and then faster and faster, you hope. Yeah. But tire will be in there. And it's coming up at the Kearney High Track on Friday, July 17th. And it's not just 21 people, but what are you looking for here, and how can people, if they're interested, get involved?
So we have a couple heats of the race. So if you want to take a shot at it, you can do that. We're going to hopefully have a couple heat of men and a heat of women at least. And again, anyone that can run a 5K can get in this. You just have to not get last. And I tell everyone, hey, you're not going to get last. Eventually, I'm going to be lying to somebody, but everyone else, you know, it'll be okay. We also have an open mile. And a lot of people like to test themselves in the classic race distance. You can do that. But also for spectators, we're going to have vendors there that are running focused. Sports Village is going to be there and help people learn how to find the right shoe that works for them, which can be very intimidating to a lot of people that want to get into running. The bike shed's going to have some treadmills out there so you can test out and see what you like for that. McMean Physical Therapy is going to be doing running gait analysis for people. Kearney CrossFit's going to be out there. So even if you're not racing, it's fun to watch. Plus, there'll be running-focused vendors there to help make you a better runner. And also, we're going to have UNK coach Brady Bonzel up in the PA box doing play-by-play on the races and talking about running for the crowd.
We've got Jonathan Nicola and Jeremy Armagost in studio here on the Doug and Daddy Show. And Jeremy, what do you think of this?
It's pretty interesting. It's an interesting concept. And if I were maybe 10 years younger, I might hop in there myself, but I don't know if I'll be able to pull that off.
Oh, there'll be plenty of old guys in there.
Well, maybe last one round then.
And with a lot of fun things, we try to have the funds go to help people. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, so the excess funds that are going to be generated from this event are going to go to help out the Kearney High Champions Plaza, which is really a way to organize or to recognize the tradition of Kearney High Track, one of the great programs in Nebraska history, if not even nationally. And the plaza is really just going to be to the entryway of the new track facility at the new high school, and just a way to really dress that up. So when other teams show up for a track meet, they're going to have to walk right through there and see the tradition of Kearney High Track. And it's going to recognize every state championship team, every state champion, every state runner-up, boys and girls, and just really dress up the entryway to the track in the new high school.
That's going to be a big-ass entryway, Jeremy.
It'll be a very
There's
big
a
entryway.
Lot of tradition up there.
It's going to be intimidating entryway.
It'll be a very intimidating entryway.
Yeah. Well, I'll throw this out as well, city councilman. you've got all this new facility going on at Kearney High. The importance, my mind being wrapped around how long the current Kearney track is going to be there probably isn't long. What do you think? Is that any idea?
You mean the existing facility?
Yeah.
I don't think the existing facility, you can't speak for the school board, but I don't think the existing facility is going anywhere. You know, the middle school will continue to use it. You know, they can use it for Kearney Catholic as meets there. Some of those smaller schools do. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's any plans to get rid of what is a really decent track right now.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. Kearney Running Festival is also, we kind of mentioned kids, but what are you looking at there for the kids?
Thank you. We're doing kids races too. Again, part of the celebration of running is encouraging that next generation. And we've got a couple of folks helping us with that. Ray Longoria, Leah Stotti, who's a great UNK athlete in the day. They're going to help be putting on a kids pentathlon. So we've got any age kids, 3 to 14, can come out. I can just show up on race day. I think it starts at 6:30. We got 5 different events for them to do. We're going to keep track of their times, give out ribbons, things like that. So if your kid's a little interested in running, wants to try their hand at some of it, they can go in, and we've got a hurdles race, a couple sprint races, long jump, softball throw. They don't have to do all 5. They can just do 1 or 2 if they want. But again, that's part of just the atmosphere. We want to have a fun time with the Kearney running community, just celebrating what we've got as a community.
Folks, you can find out and register online at TheEliminatorRace.com, TheEliminatorRace.com. It's only $15 to enter, $5 for the open mile. The kids' pentathlon is free, so like we kind of mentioned off-air, this isn't a, hey, I need people from Denver to come in and run in the Eliminator race, so I'm charging them $500. Yeah. That's not what
this is
about.
We're trying to get participation. The money's to cover our costs. We had to rent the track and insurance, and then we want to have a little extra for these guys. So really, we're just trying to cover costs and just have a fun time.
Jeremy, if they're not a runner but appreciate the track program or their kids or their grandkids, what else can they do, and will there be some future fundraising efforts for this project?
You know, we're not really organizing and marching out throughout the entire community. We're really just reaching out, or in the past, we've just reached out to, grads of the program. The easiest way, if someone would like to find out a little more about it, go to the Kearney High Champions Plaza Facebook page. Plenty of information there on who to get a hold of, where to give money. You can actually donate through that page as well if you'd like. But, you know, our goal isn't to, raise a ton of money here to just do something, maybe too over the top. We just want to honor that program. So we've really just been reaching out to the existing grads, and then they reached out to us through the Eliminator race to just to create some more awareness about this, because we haven't really pushed out too many notifications out in the public about what we're doing.
I'm sure, and this will step away from this for just a second, but I'm sure when we move from old Kearney High to new Kearney High, there's a lot of things that won't move along. And one of the things that kind of stands out are the Kearney High planks. They're not 2x4s, but the planks that have each kid's name on them, and I'm sure there's going to be some interest there. Any idea what they're going to do with those?
I'm not sure. I'm not privy to that information, so I don't know.
I bet a mini auction would get a lot of money for that project right there. Maybe the kids would, or young men and young women now would really, really like to pick those up. We're talking with Jeremy Armagost and Jonathan Nicola here for another couple minutes about the Kearney Running Festival. It's coming up Friday night, July 17th at the Kearney High School track. The Eliminator races, as Jonathan said, they're trying to have enough for at least a couple rounds, and the women's in between. It'll start at 5:45, the kids at 6:30, and it'll be done around 9 o'clock if all the events go off as planned.
Yeah, it should be fine. And really, just to stress people who might be thinking about signing up, if you look at it, most laps you're trying to just not get last. So most of them are, decently paced laps. You can hang on. Someone who did it last year, I can tell you the last couple, when you're about to have your final lap, they start to hurt a little bit. But it's very approachable for people, and again, no one's out there to win as much as we are, just to enjoy the competition and have fun watching. So I'm just really excited, and we just encourage people to give it a shot and don't be too intimidated by the idea.
What's the winner get besides pride?
I think we've got a nice special mug that has a little design on it commemorating the winner. You get a little sticker. They say, I was eliminated on lap, whatever, And the first person out, we care about them too. We're going to have a little special drawing for them to help them maybe get their entry fee back if they are the first one out. So, we're going to help people out. And the lap awards, I should say, Sports Village, they're a top sponsor for this. And Jim and the team at Sports Village has been awesome. And they're donating a ton of lap awards and going to have a drawing at their booth for free running shoes. So Sports Village has really stepped up to make this something we can give a lot of great stuff away to people. So we're excited about that.
You touched on it. Did you guys really make this up, or is this a format that, hey, I heard about this?
So my brother and I ran in college out in Michigan track at a school called Hillsdale College. He's still out there teaching in that area. And he and some of our former college track teammates came up with the idea. And it's just a classic debate between a middle distance runner and a 10K runner. Like, who can hang? Is it the speed or is it the endurance? So that kind of evolved into something where they made a race out of it and done it for a few years out there. We tried it last year here, and I was blown away by how many people loved it. I was a little skeptical myself at first, but I had people, again, just congregating. People that got out on lap three, they didn't care. They were in the mix, like, who's going to die on this lap? Oh, I can see him. He's tying up, just getting into the excitement. So apparently in bike racing, there's a similar race, I think, called the Criterion, where they do something similar, maybe in the Olympics. But nothing we know of from a running perspective that does this.
Who won this thing last year?
Andrew Fields, the Ord track standout, who's now UK.
That's even better. I didn't know that, and that's even better.
Yeah,
I
will say, Doug, Derry Trampy from Ord was in it last year. Derry's a coach at Ord, and I coached against him at Kearney Catholic, and Derry beat me. He's about, late 50s probably. And I told Derry afterwards, I said, Derry, we now know who the fastest Lou Platt Conference track coach is, and it's not me, it's you. So he was hanging in there with the young guys. It was pretty impressive.
I saw him over the weekend, and he told me this track season that he was off a little bit in his training, so we'll see if he's gettable.
Yeah, he said he was a little he got a couple injuries, but we're hoping to get a lot of trampies in this race, so we'll see.
We'll kind of wrap it up here. I want to make sure that we covered everything. Jeremy, your part is to try and get the nice entryway at the high school. Anything else people need to know here?
No, we're trying to take care of everyone there. So even if you weren't a state champion, maybe you were just a part of that team, or maybe your kid was on one of those teams and maybe they weren't a medalist. Maybe they didn't even go to state. But if they were on those teams, they were a part of those championships. They were there for all the practices. And the state championship teams will be up there. The individual champions will be up there. But really the team is everybody on that team, which at Kearney High, could be as many as 150 people in a year. So
pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And again, Jonathan, if people have questions or want to get involved.
Yeah, so theeliminatorrace.com, or we also have a Facebook event page, Kearney Running Festival. You can get my number anytime you want on the City of Kearney website. So if you really want to call me and talk about it, you can get a hold of me there. And we are going to make a complimentary entry available to Doug to get in the race. So I'm sure he'll.
I can guarantee that everybody else would not get eliminated. I mean, years ago maybe.
TheEliminatorRace.com has contact information how to register. And the only one we need pre-registration for is the Eliminator Race, because we have to set the heat so people know what time they're going to run. But if you just want to do the mile, you can come down the day of, or if the kids races, you can come down the day of.
Hey folks, if you're working out every day, now you can do it with meet some fresh faces or take your friends down and have fun. The Kearney Running Festival featuring the Eliminator. It's going to be a lot of fun. Friday night, July 17th. Jonathan Nicola, Jeremy Armagos, thanks for coming in, and best of luck with this event. Let's get some good weather and a lot of people.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Before we do, let's take a look at the Midtown Mart Cooler Question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you, what was the most surprising sports story of the weekend? Half of you went with the Carly Lloyd hat trick in the World Cup final. 30% said LaMarcus Aldridge signing with the Spurs. 20% went with Rory McIlroy. Today, this is a good one, Caleb, because this is an easy one. Who is the biggest All-Star snub? There's like 10 of them a year that you can use as a topic. Alex Rodriguez, Joey Votto, Clayton Kershaw. I think Kershaw, because I mean, it just depends how you look at it. Is it this year, that career stuff? I mean, he is the man. So I'm going to vote Clayton Kershaw. Although, mark my words, and you can vote now on the Midtown Mark Cooler Question at ESPNSuperstation.com. Every year, somebody can't go because of injury. Somebody's going to get hurt. Somebody just doesn't want to go. Alex Rodriguez will be in Cincinnati next Tuesday night. Don't worry about it. Alex Rodriguez will be in Cincinnati. We're going to take a break, wrap things up on the Doug and Daddy Show after this.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect a fish from his environment, the Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
Locally owned Hastings Physical Therapy, chosen since 2002 for excellence in one-on-one care. Even in this rapidly changing healthcare environment, we at Hastings Physical Therapy want you to know the choice is still yours when selecting your physical therapist. We offer convenient hours and parking. Privately owned and next to Applebee's. Call Hastings Physical Therapy at 402-462-2665 to schedule your appointment today.
Make your summer concert plans now and buy your tickets today to the Adams County Fair in Hastings. This summer's Adams County Fair Fest concert series will take place July 15th through the 18th. Check out this unbelievable lineup. Legendary Lone Star, Colt Swindell, Harmony, and Granger Smith. Now that's a lot of talent for one fair. Call today and get your Adams County Fair Fest tickets at 402-462-3247. That's 402-462-3247.
Play ball!
Great fielding and solid hitting start with the right stuff from TM Sporting Goods. Choose from brands like Louisville Slugger, Rip It, Mizuno, and Wilson. All the summer sports are made better with the right apparel and equipment from TM Sporting Goods.
Save!
Then roll in the expertise provided by Steve Varinall and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods on the Bricks, downtown Kearney, a division of Protein Design. Every sport done right.
Sports Talk from the guys who know more useless information than anyone in town.
And your father smelt of elderberry.
KICS Hastings. KXPN Kearney.
Daddy's show. We were talking about getting signed up for the Kearney Running Festival, whether it's the Eliminator, the Mile, or the Kids Pentathlon. Also, as we talked with Mike Trader yesterday, don't forget that you still have time to take your game to the next level by attending the 29th annual Mike Trader Mid-America Basketball Camp next week at Hastings College. It runs Monday, July 13th through Thursday, July 16th. The day camp sessions are for both boys and girls, and again, they're ages 7 through 18. You can find out all kinds of information at TradersCamp.com. There's a different fee if you stay overnight. I mean, you bring your kids in from wherever, North Platte or Peru State, you know, down there, wherever falls. I mean, if you want to stay over, you can do that. If you live in Hastings, you're going to pick your kids up and back and forth every night, so there's a different fee there, and it's not that big a difference. But you can check it all out at TradersCamp.com. They will work on your shooting. They'll work on your jumping, endurance, ball handling, agility, shooting, dribbling, and passing skills. Of course, you've got great shooters like Coach Trader and Coach Ribble and their folks, great defensive coaches like Bill Gavers and Jim Weeks. Bill, of course, the current Hastings College coach, and Coach Weeks at Doan. So find out more at TradersCamp.com. Let's run through the rest of the sports headlines and get you out of here. It looks like Serena Williams is going to force a third set against Victoria Azarenka on the women's side here today in the quarterfinals at Wimbledon. Jack Sock knocked out in doubles. We talked about it yesterday. Vasek Pospisil is the only unseeded tennis player in the men's quarterfinals. And he had to play five sets earlier in singles and then come back and had to play five sets in doubles, and they fell 8-6 in the fifth. They were the defending champions. Again, the Royals will play this afternoon, 1:10, and then tonight, 7:10 on the Breeze, 94.5. More awards out today. Tommy Armstrong and Malik Collins named to prestigious National Award watch list. The Maxwell Award, 79th edition, goes to America's best college football player. And Armstrong is on that list. You know, I don't know what to say without sounding derogatory here, because Tommy's going to – he's just a returning starting quarterback at a BCS school, and I think that's how you get on this. I mean, it's a big list, but we'll see what Coach Riley can do with him. One of 12 Big Ten players named to the watch list for the Maxwell Award. Four of them are from Ohio State. Why? Because they had to put all three quarterbacks on there. They don't know who's going to quarterback the team. Malik Collins is up for the Bednarik Award, which is presented to the College Defensive Player of the Year. He's one of 12 Big Ten defensive standouts, including Shalik Calhoun, was one of the semifinalists last year. Tomorrow, the Mackey Award for tight end and the Remington Trophy for center watch list will be announced. Yesterday, DeMornay Pearsonell on the Paul Horning Award watch list, which goes to the most versatile player in college football. The NCAA released their basketball attendance figures from last year, so there's a million of them out there. For the men, Syracuse, they had over 23-8 at every game. Kentucky, 23-5. Creighton had the sixth most men's basketball attendance on the average, over 17,000. Nebraska was 10th at 15.5. The Big Ten led the nation for the 39th consecutive year. The Nebraska women were 11th in the country at just over 5,850. In the MIAA, in Division II, the women led all Division II conferences for the 7th straight year, the men for the 6th straight year, and the UNK men 9th in the country in attendance, just over 2,000 per ball game. Defending champion Danielle Lemick on the golf course today. She is in the quarterfinals of the Nebraska Women's Match Play at the Oakland, Nebraska Golf Club. Tori Pierce of Grand Island, this is the way it goes. She shot 74, tied with Lemick in medalist in the morning to get your seating, and then she was upset with a tough draw against seven-time champion Susan Marchese, who had to win a playoff just to get into the match play. And so they're playing the quarters today and the semifinals later this afternoon. The finals will be set for tomorrow. Tonight at Grand Island's Ryder Park, it's the Cornhusker League All-Star Senior Baseball game. Brooks Asher and Brock Treher of Hastings, 5 points. Blake Eckout, Chris Langan, Ty Roseberry, Carney Runza, Calvin Henke, Kevin Cahoy, Ryan Kolakowski of Grand Island Home Federal. Last night's Senior League Championship game between Grand Island and Lincoln Southeast was rained out, so they'll play that tomorrow at 6. It'll be in Lincoln. Grand Island's game tomorrow has to be wiped out. They always have fan appreciation and hand out scholarships and their big awards. They're going to do that their first district game of the year. And then Hastings Johnson Imperial Juniors will host Lincoln Southeast tonight at Duncan Field for the Cornhusker League Junior Championship, and that is at 6 o'clock. So, there you go. That'll wrap things up on today's Doug and Daddy Show. We hope you enjoy it. 5 points at Little Caesars. We'll be hosting Lexington regular season action, and Tom Dinsdale is scheduled to play some baseball at Gretna today, while 5 points is scheduled to play at Beatrice in junior action. And I think that gets us through everything we had to talk about on today's Doug and Daddy Show. I want to thank Jonathan Nicola and Jeremy Armagoth with the Kearney Running Festival coming up on Friday, July 17th. Also want to thank Bill McCall, the new head coach and general manager of the Tri-City Storm, and of course, UNK baseball coach Damon Day. We are getting ready for 14 teams in 14 days, which starts this week. We will have an overview of the Big Ten with special analysts the next couple of days, and then Friday it all starts leading up to Big Ten Media Days, July 30th and 31st in Chicago. So we'll talk to you tomorrow. Enjoy this beautiful Tuesday in Nebraska. This is Doug Dewis saying thanks for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.